it, but that she didn't like the idea of having someone in the house with her. She said it would feel like she was under a microscope all the time. I couldn't get her to budge. I tried not to worry as Hannah paced the living room, jiggling coal back and forth, treading a path across the room. She'd been up since 2. He'd woken up, and she hadn't been able to get him back to sleep. I'd offered to take him from her so she could rest, but she'd insisted she'd be the one to do it since I was going to work in the morning. I chopped up strawberries and put them in a bowl next to Jamie's cereal. Mommy is really tired because she's been up all night taking care of baby Cole, so I need you to go easy on her and help her out today. Can you do that for me? I asked. She smiled across the table at me.
I'll be good.
The house was trashed when I got home. It was clear Hannah had let Janie do whatever she wanted. Goldfish cracker crumbs formed a trail everywhere Janie had been, leading in and out of the living room and back again. Half-empty juice boxes were strewn around in the kitchen and in her bedroom. Her toys were scattered around the house. She'd created an obstacle course in her room, and it looked like she'd spent most of the day trying to get Blue to run through it like she was a dog. We'd watched the Westminster dog show a few nights ago, and she'd been obsessed with it ever since. I kept telling her that cats don't do tricks as easily as dogs, but it didn't matter. She was determined to get Blue to perform. She was still in her pajamas, and her face was dirty, but she looked happy.
"I was a good girl today," she said.
I gave her a big hug and high-fived her. "I'm so proud of you. Where's Mommy?"
"She's in her bedroom."
"I'm going to go say hi to her. Then I'll make us something to eat. How's that?" She nodded and went back to trying to loop a jump rope around 2 of her toy bins. I walked down the hallway and into our bedroom. Hannah was curled up on the bed with Cole cuddled close to her. At first I thought she'd fallen asleep, but she jerked her head up when I came into view.
"Shh! Don't come in here. You'll wake him up," she hissed through gritted teeth.
"Okay, Cole twitched and started to wail.
"You woke him up. I just got him to sleep."
She glared at me.
"I told you to be quiet."
She scooped him up and brought him to her breast.
"I barely said anything. I think he woke up on his own. How long has he been sleeping?" "I just got him to sleep 2 minutes before you walked in the door."
She said it like I'd done something wrong by coming home.
"I'm sorry,"
I apologized, even though I hadn't done anything wrong.
"Do you want me to take him?" "He's eating," she snapped.
"Maybe we could start trying to get him to take a bottle?" I felt bad that I couldn't help more with feeding him. At least if he took a bottle, I could alleviate some of her responsibility.
"I don't want him to get nipple confusion, not yet. He's got to get comfortable breastfeeding first."
I didn't dare argue with her about breastfeeding. Lillian had talked to Hannah about supplementing her breast milk with formula, and she'd acted like formula feeding was the same thing as feeding him glass. Hannah wanted to exclusively breastfeed and wouldn't consider any other alternatives. I wasn't used to her being so narrow-minded since she was usually so diligent about researching all sides of an issue. I reminded myself that it had only been a few weeks since she had given birth, and her hormones were wreaking havoc on her. She needed her space to level out. I would wait to bring up leaving Janie alone or unsupervised. I spent the rest of the night trying to find ways to lessen her load and make things easier for her. So when Cole started screaming again around midnight, I jumped out of bed and ran downstairs to get his car seat.
"What are you doing?"
Hannah asked when I came back upstairs with it.
"I'm taking him. You need sleep," I said.
As long as he was in the house crying, she would be awake, even if I had him in another room. We'd tried that the other night, and I'd come out to find her listening for his cries outside the guest room door. I took Cole from her, which made him scream louder. I strapped him into the car seat while he wailed.
"Where are you going?"
she asked frantically.
"I'm going to drive around with him until he falls asleep."
Dan had told me that he used to drive his girls around at night when they couldn't sleep. He'd said there was something about the car that lulled them to sleep. I hope it worked with Cole.
"But it's 2 in the morning. I don't want him out. Please, Christopher, please don't go."
"It's okay. We're just going to drive around for a while so you can sleep. You need to sleep." She started crying. That's when I knew just how tired she was, because Hannah wasn't a girl who cried easily.
"Please, please,"
she begged.
I kissed her on the cheek. Just go to sleep, you'll see. You'll feel better when you wake up.
I strapped him into the back seat and started driving. It frustrated me that Hannah wouldn't consider letting me stay home with the kids while she went back to work. She hadn't always been so traditional, but staying home and bonding with her children during those first few months had been a dream of her since she was a little girl, and she refused to let it go. I drove slowly up and down residential streets. It took him 45 minutes to fall asleep, but he eventually did. I drove for another hour to give him and Hannah time to rest before heading home. I had barely pulled into the driveway when Hannah whipped open the front door of the house. She stormed outside, waving her arms around manically. She didn't even let me shut the car off before she yanked open the back door.
"Don't you ever do that again!"
she screamed. She pulled Cole out of the car, waking him up. He immediately started crying.
"What are you doing? He was asleep!"
I yelled. She rushed into the house, and I followed her inside. He quieted once she settled him on her breast. Her face was streaked with tears and blotchy, her eyes wild.
"Did you get any sleep?"
I asked.
"Are you kidding me?"
she hissed.
"I told you not to take him. I was freaking out the entire time you were gone, and you didn't even answer your phone."
"I'm sorry, I forgot it." I tried to hug her, but she pulled away.
"All I pictured were terrible things happening to you guys. I kept seeing you getting carjacked with the baby in the car or getting crushed by a drunk driver. What if a stray bullet hit you?"
"Hannah, calm down. A stray bullet? Where do you think we live?" Her eyes filled with fear.
"I don't care. That's what I kept seeing. Don't ever do that to me again, ever. Do you understand?"
I nodded. I'd never seen her so unsettled.
38. Hannah Bauer. I eyed Christopher in the bathroom as he brushed his teeth, trying to pretend like I wasn't spying on him. He'd left the door open while he got ready, something he never did, because he didn't want to wake me or Cole. He was trying just as hard to pretend he wasn't trying to keep an eye on me, but it was the reason he'd kept the door open in the first place. He'd looked at me like I was a stranger the morning after a one-night stand when he'd rolled over in bed earlier. I didn't recognize myself any more than he did. I checked to make sure Cole was still asleep in his bassinet next to the bed before inching my way out and following Christopher into the bathroom. I leaned against the counter for support. I was so tired. It took too much energy to stand. He didn't look up from brushing his teeth. "I'm sorry. I shouldn't have freaked out like I did last night." Shame burned my cheeks. "It's okay. You were just exhausted." He spit out the toothpaste and rinsed his mouth. "It was so weird. Nothing like that has ever happened to me before. I couldn't stop the images. They all just felt so real. This morning, it seemed like a strange dream." "Postpartum pregnancy hormones are brutal, but you've got to be near the end of them," he said. "Things will be better soon." His words were positive, but they were forced, and he still hadn't looked at me. Why wouldn't he look at me? It made the situation more uncomfortable, and things were already weird enough. "I really wish you'd let me stay home today." I shook my head. "They're going to give your job away if you're never there." The last thing we needed was for Christopher to lose his job. I couldn't handle one more stressful event on our plate. The following days didn't get any easier. Janie was determined to make things hard. She started having accidents all the time. She wasn't bothered by the mess or the smell. "I pooped, Mommy," she'd say in a sing-song voice. "Change me." Sometimes she'd stand in the living room looking right at me and start peeing. I'd yell at her to get into the bathroom, and she'd just stand there, shrugging her shoulders. I wanted to rest, but as soon as I'd sit on the couch, Janie would call out and ask for help with something. She'd always thrived on being independent and doing things by herself if she could. But suddenly she couldn't do anything without help, and it never failed that she needed something whenever I was nursing. I wanted to crawl into bed and sleep for days. There were moments when I almost gave in and hired a nanny like Christopher wanted, but no matter how tired I was, I couldn't bring myself to do it. If Allison could find a way to manage with the twins all by herself, then I could find a way to manage my family situation too. I always asked Janie if she needed anything prior to breastfeeding or any other task with Cole that would take longer than a few minutes, but she always said no and then waited until I was in the middle of caring for him to bombard me with requests. So it was no surprise when she slid up to me later that afternoon while I nursed Cole and announced, "I'm thirsty." I held back the urge to roll my eyes. "Okay, can you grab your cup on the coffee table? I think it still has your milk in it." I'd quickly learned to have snacks and drinks accessible to her at all times. It was one less thing for her to ask me for. The trick was to stay one step ahead of her. She frowned. "I don't want that milk." "It's still cold. It hasn't been sitting there that long." She hated drinking milk after it got warm. I hated warm milk, too. My mom used to try and get me to drink warm milk when I couldn't sleep as a kid, and I didn't like it then either. "No, I want that milk." I looked around. "What are you talking about?" She pointed to my breast. "That. I want that." I looked down at Cole suckling my right breast. I tried to pull my shirt over my other breast, suddenly feeling exposed. "You can't have that."
"Why?"
I swallowed. "Because, well, Cole is a baby, and the milk that comes from my breast is for babies. When he gets older, he won't drink it either. He'll drink milk just like you do." Her eyes filled with challenge.
"It's not fair. I want that milk. It's better."
"It's not better. It's, different. It has special things that babies need to keep them healthy.
Why don't you give me a minute, and I'll get you fresh milk from the refrigerator?"
"No. I want that."
Her voice rose with each word. I pulled Cole off my nipple. Thankfully, he'd had enough, so he didn't cry. He settled into a milk coma, and I placed him in his infant carrier. I yanked my shirt down, smoothing it in front of me.
"Give me your milk,"
she grabbed at my chest. I pulled away.
"Janie, no, stop that."
She grabbed my breast and pinched hard. I slapped her hand away instinctively.
"Ouch! That hurt!"
She jumped up and kicked Cole's carrier.
"He's stupid and ugly. Ugly, stupid baby!"
She kicked the carrier again, and it fell on its side. Cole rolled onto the floor.
"Janie!"
I screamed as Cole started wailing. I scooped him up from the floor.
"Shh, shh, it's okay. You're okay."
I bounced as I walked. I pointed to her room.
"Go to your room now."
She glared at me.
"I hate you."
I pointed again. "Go."
"Take him back,"
she screamed, before stomping to her room and slamming the door behind her like an angry teenager. I checked Cole over. Thankfully, he hadn't hit hard, and his blanket had landed first, so he'd fallen on that instead of the wooden floor. He seemed fine. I texted Christopher at work. Janie just flipped out and knocked Cole out of his carrier. It took a couple hours before he texted back.
"Just got out of surgery."
"Why?" "She got pissed because I wouldn't let her drink my breast milk."
"What?"
"Yep. She wanted to drink it. Totally freaked out when I said no."
"What's she doing now?"
"She's been in her room screaming and crying for the last 2 hours."
Okay. Got surgery. Text me later.
Will do.
I carried Cole into the kitchen to get away from Janie's sounds, but no matter where I went in the house, I could still hear her throwing a fit. Cole started fussing, and before long he worked himself up into one of his frenzies. I tried to nurse him, but he twisted away from me. The cries from both of them reverberated off the walls. I paced the house. Neither of them stopped. My anxiety built the longer they cried. I walked through the hallway, pausing at Janie's door. Her screams cut through my brain. Before I knew what I was doing, I pounded on her door and screamed, "Shut up! Just shut up!" She quieted immediately. I held my breath. The crying didn't start back up. I'd never yelled at her before. All the times she'd pushed me and frustrated me, I'd never raised my voice, no matter how much I'd wanted to. I should have felt bad, but all I felt was relieved that she'd stopped. It took another 30 minutes before I got Cole quiet, too. I strapped him into his swing and wound it up, grateful for a few moments of peace. I headed back down the hallway and into Janie's room, hoping she'd cried herself to sleep. I opened the door slowly so I wouldn't wake her in case she had. She was sitting on her rug in a puddle of puke. "Oh my God, you threw up," I said, waves of guilt crashing over me. She glared at me through bloodshot eyes. "I'm so sorry that I yelled at you." "I shouldn't have yelled at you," I said. Any relief from the quiet was gone and replaced with shame.
"You're mean," she said.
I crouched next to her. I went to hug her, but she jerked away. "You're right. I said something very mean to you. I should not have done that, and I'm sorry." I rubbed her back. She flinched like I was hurting her. "Come on, let's go into the bathroom and get you cleaned up." She walked ahead of me into the bathroom. I peeked into the family room to make sure Cole was asleep before joining her. She was struggling to get her shirt off.
"Here, let me help you."
I straightened it and pulled it over her head.
"How about we just give you a bath?" "In the day?"
"Sure.
It's not a regular day."
I bit my cheek to keep from crying. It was a day I'd never forget. The one where I had crossed the line, made my child so upset she'd thrown up. What kind of a mother did that? I filled the tub and squirted her with the bath toys. She wouldn't laugh like she usually did, but she finally smiled. It didn't make me feel any better.
"I'm sorry I yelled at you, Janie.
Mommy should not have done that," I said.
"It's okay, Mommy."
She picked up one of the green toys and handed it to me.
"Mommies always yell."
I froze. She'd never said anything about her mother. Never. Not once. What did I do? Was I supposed to say something? Ask more questions? I frantically looked around like Christopher would pop out of one of the walls and tell me what to do. My armpits dripped with sweat. I had to do something.
"Really? They do?"
I didn't want to push her. That much I remembered from the early days. Her team always said not to pressure her to talk about her past, and Piper had said to never ask leading questions. We were supposed to leave it up to her to talk. Did that still apply now? Cole squawked from the living room. Of course he decided to wake up now. It was only a few seconds before he moved into a full-fledged wail.
"What else do mommies do?" I asked.
It wasn't an open-ended question, but I didn't have time. She shrugged, then squealed,
"Poopy pants!"
before bursting into giggles perfectly timed with Cole's piercing cries. I handed her a towel. I'll run and get you clothes while you dry off, honey, I said. I hurried to her bedroom and grabbed her an outfit. I laid it on her bed.
Janie, your clothes are on your bed, I yelled above Cole's cries. I'm going to be in the living room feeding Cole.
He was so worked up it took him a while to settle on my breast, but he finally did. He hadn't been settled for long when Janie plodded into the living room wearing only her underwear.
Can I have some of your milk? She asked.
39. Christopher Bauer. The house was dark when I got home. Stillness enveloped it. I opened the door quietly and stepped over the spot on the wooden floor where it creaked. I tiptoed through the living room and into the hallway. Janie was already sleeping. It was too early for her to be asleep. Hopefully she wasn't sick. Our bedroom door was shut. I put my ear up to the wood, straining to hear anything. I wasn't going to wake them if they were asleep. I'd sleep on the couch. It was worth a terrible night of sleep if Hannah got a chance to rest. My heart sank when I heard whimpering. I pushed open the door, expecting to find Cole fussing, but he was fast asleep in his quilted bassinet next to the bed. Hannah lay curled up in the fetal position with a box of tissues next to her. I rushed over to her bedside and placed my hand on her forehead to check for fever. She wasn't hot. What happened? I asked, leaning down to peer into her eyes. She looked depleted, spent. I yelled at Janie today, screamed at her to shut up. I didn't mean to, but she was crying so hard that I couldn't stand it. And I snapped. I yelled at her, screamed, really. And she cried so hard afterward that she threw up. She's never cried so hard she threw up, and it's all my fault, she sobbed. I'm a terrible mother. I wrapped my arms around her and pulled her close to me. Her body was damp with sweat. It's okay. I mean, obviously it's not okay that you yelled at her, but everyone screws up. Parents yell at their kids all the time. An involuntary sob escaped, sending a shudder down the length of her body. Yes, but not kids like Janie. Did you apologize? It wasn't lost on me that I had asked Janie the same question after she'd hurt Hannah in some way. She nodded. Okay, well, then you taught her a valuable lesson today. You showed her that everyone screws up, even parents, but we apologize when we do. Those things are just as important for her to learn as the other things we teach her. I wasn't saying it to make her feel better, even though I hated seeing her sad. I believed it. There was nothing wrong with Janie discovering her parents were human and made mistakes. I massaged her shoulders. Why don't I make you some tea? You can get in your pajamas while I grab it, okay? I didn't give her an opportunity to say no. She had changed into her pajamas and washed her face when I came back. She looked so worn down. The bags underneath her eyes grew bigger every day. I handed her the cup of tea and said, So, I was thinking about something when I was downstairs. She took a sip. Do you think it's time we revisited getting you some help with the kids? I tried to sound as benign as possible to avoid offending her like I had in all our previous discussions about it. She glared at me but didn't say no, so I quickly continued before she could stop me. I know we always said that we didn't want a nanny, but that was before we had two children and realized how hard it was to juggle everything. I'm having a hard time managing all of it myself. I didn't want her to think it was only about her. I was struggling too. That's why so many people do it, Hannah. And we don't just have two children. We have two difficult and challenging children. Let's just be honest. Our job is harder than most. I saw as she considered the possibility for the first time. I had to spring while there was an opening. We aren't committing to anything permanently. We can just do it now while everyone is adjusting. Most people have help during the newborn phase. She shook her head. Had I read her wrong? Your mom comes to help whenever she can. How's that any different than hiring someone? I asked. Because it's my mom. It's not some stranger who's going to be judging everything I do. Have you seen how trashed this place is? Her eyes bulged out of her head as she talked. Janie's room was the only place in the house that was trashed. Everything else was meticulous. Her frantic cleaning hadn't changed. If anything, it had gotten worse. I chose my words carefully, doing my best not to upset her any further. "Why don't you just look at a few profiles online and see what you think? I'm not changing my mind." She crossed her arms on her chest. The door was closed again. Her stubbornness was maddening, and it didn't make sense. Hiring someone to help her care for the kids was the perfect solution to our problems. I reached out and caressed her back. "Asking for help doesn't mean you're a failure." At first, I didn't think she had heard me, but then she announced, "I'm just going to breastfeed her." I almost spit out my tea. What? It was completely out of the blue. She hadn't said anything about actually doing it when we were texting earlier today. She couldn't be serious. Had she even been listening to me? "I've been thinking about it all day today. I Googled tandem breastfeeding after she fell asleep tonight." I interrupted her. "Tandem breastfeeding? It's when you breastfeed two different children at the same time." "Okay, but can we get back to talking about getting help for a while?" I tried to hide my annoyance at her perpetual avoidance of the topic. She shook her head. "This might work, Christopher. Part of the reason she feels so left out and is acting out is because Cole's attached to my breast for most of the day. There's nothing she hates more than feeling rejected. If she were a part of the experience, she might not feel so jealous." I stared at her in disbelief. Motherhood had stripped all her former modesty. Women in other countries breastfed older children all the time, but the image of a grown child that I sat with at the dinner table suckling up to Hannah's breast slightly disturbed me. I kept my mouth shut, though. She'd finally calmed down, and I didn't want to say something to upset her all over again. There was no way to know what would set her off these days. "This could be a bonding experience for us. I'm sure she never experienced it with Becky. I mean, maybe Becky breastfed her, but I doubt it." "If you're comfortable with it, then I support whatever you want to do." I patted the bed. "Why don't you lie down and close your eyes?" She yawned at the mention of sleep. I tucked the blanket underneath her chin just like I did whenever I put Janie to bed. I kissed her on the top of her forehead. "Don't worry about anything. Just rest. Tomorrow is a new day," I said. Hannah grinned at me over breakfast the next morning like we shared a secret. She'd told me earlier while we were making coffee that she was still considering breastfeeding Janie. It was good to see the smile return to her face, but I secretly hoped she had forgotten about the idea. It wasn't just that it was weird. We had worked so hard at moving Janie forward in her development, and it seemed like it'd be a step backward. What if it made her regress even further? "I love you," I whispered in her ear before leaving. "Try to be easy today." Shortly after my mid-morning consultation, my phone vibrated with a text from Hannah. "I'm downstairs." "What are you talking about? Did you send this to me by mistake?" "No, I'm downstairs." "In the hospital?" "Yes." "What are you doing here?" "I'm in the ER. Are the kids okay?" I texted as I sprinted down the hallway. I skipped the elevator and went straight to the stairs because they were quicker. "Kids are fine. I'm getting stitches." "WTF?" She didn't respond. I tapped out a text to Dan, letting him know where I was in case he needed me. I found her in bed 7A. Bags of ice lay across her bare chest. I rushed over to her bedside. "What happened?" I asked. "Janie bit me." Anxiety twisted my guts. "Janie bit you? Where? How? How do you think?" she snapped. She shot me a murderous glare. I threw my hands in the air. I still wasn't getting it. It wasn't registering. "This morning, before I nursed Cole, I asked if she still wanted to try it, and she said yes. She was so excited. I explained to her it was like sucking on a bottle. I mean, what else was I supposed to say?" Her face was contorted in anger. I'd never seen her so mad. At first, she latched on like it was nothing. It was pretty amazing. I got a letdown just like I get with Cole. I hadn't expected that. She drank for a few minutes. But then you know what she did? She didn't wait for me to answer. She looked up at me, right at me, and then she bit me. And not just a little nibble, she chomped down on it. She pulled off the bag of ice on her left breast.
See what she did to me?
Her entire breast was swollen, bruised all around the nipple. Stitches lined the underside. She pointed.
6 stitches. It took 6 stitches. She almost ripped it off.
Oh, my God. I didn't know what else to say. My head felt woozy. The room spun. I have to sit down. I sank into the chair next to her bed. I put my head in my hands, trying to make sense of what she had just told me, what I'd just seen. What was wrong with Janie? I'd read about kids with reactive attachment disorder. I hadn't read anything like this. Nothing.
Where are the kids?
I asked.
Allison is at the house with them. I told her I was bleeding again and needed to go to the hospital.
She shook her finger at me.
Don't you dare tell her what really happened.
I cocked my head to the side, shocked.
What? I mean it. I don't want her to know she did this to me. I'd be mortified.
She didn't need to be embarrassed. She hadn't done anything wrong. I wanted to tell her that, but she was easy to set off these days, and I wasn't taking the chance of getting her more upset. Since most of the time it was something I said or did, I couldn't do anything right by her. Nobody had told me having a newborn would be like this. My phone vibrated again. This time it was Dan. He needed me upstairs.
It's Dan.
She motioned toward the door.
You can go. I'm fine. There's nothing else they can do. They already stitched me up. I'm just waiting on my discharge papers.
Are you sure? I feel bad leaving you here.
I'm sure. I don't know what I'm going to do when I get home, though. I don't even want to see her face.
Anger radiated off her.
I'll talk to Janie when I get home.
I kissed the top of her head.
I'll call Dr. Chandler on the way back upstairs.
She turned away from me.
Go ahead. I don't want to talk to either of them.
My head spun as I drove home from the hospital. Hannah had texted me when she'd gotten home, but I hadn't heard anything else from her the rest of the day. I'd become a surgeon because I liked to fix people and picked orthopedics because it was an easy fix. Bones were like pieces of glass. When they broke, you put them back together again. That was what I was good at, fixing things. But I didn't know how to fix this. Things grew worse instead of better every day, and I'd never felt more powerless. Janie bounced to the door and greeted me like she did whenever I got home, happy, smiling, full of energy and life. I just stared at her, wondering how someone who looked so sweet could do something so awful. It was one of the hallmarks of kids with reactive attachment disorder, but it didn't make it any less creepy.
Hi, Daddy. I missed you. Did you have a good day at the hospital?
She said like it was just another day.
It's been a hard day,
I said. I'd worry about her later.
Where's your mom?
She pointed to the family room.
She's in there.
I walked into the family room. Hannah sat in the recliner, holding Cole while he slept. Her face was contorted in pain.
How are you feeling?
I asked out of habit.
It's pretty awful,
she said, fighting back tears.
I can only feed him out of one breast, and it feels like knives are coming out when I do.
I'm so sorry. I wished I could do something to make her feel better.
Do you want anything? Can I?
Janie interrupted.
Daddy, play with me. I want to play.
Not right now. I'm talking to your mom. She tugged on my arm.
But Daddy!
I jerked it away. Let go. My voice was louder than I had intended. She stumbled back as if I'd hit her, eyes wide. Hannah motioned to her.
Talk to her first. We can talk later.
Let's go to your room, Janie, I said. I shot Hannah a knowing look over my shoulder as we headed into Janie's room. I didn't close the door behind us so she could hear our conversation. I took a seat on Janie's bed.
Janie, come sit next to me. We need to talk. I don't want to talk. I want to play.
She crossed her arms on her chest. No, we're going to talk first, and then we can play. She begrudgingly took a seat next to me.
You bit Mommy today, and it really hurt her. That was a bad thing to do.
I wore my most serious face. I'm very upset with you.
Sorry, Daddy.
She grabbed my hand and kissed the top of it.
Can we play now?
I shook my head.
I want to know why you did that. Why would you do something like that?
She shrugged, searching my face for an answer.
Please, I'm trying to understand. How could you hurt your mommy?
She crawled up on my lap and whispered in her sweet voice,
I like hurting people. Do you?
Case number 5243. Interview, Piper Goldstein. Ron stopped me mid-sentence. How did Hannah seem to you during those early days? This time there was nothing I could do to keep the red from burning my cheeks. I shrugged. He leaned forward. How was Hannah after the baby was born? I cleared my throat. I told you before, I didn't see much of them during that time period. No, you made it sound like you were around when the abuse happened, but that's not true, is it? Luke peered at me from across the table. I looked away. His gaze was too intense. Ron rubbed his chin. It's true, isn't it? You hadn't seen them in months until you got called to investigate at the hospital. He cut me off. You weren't there for months. You have no idea what happened in that house, do you? I didn't have to be in the house to know what happened. I knew them. Answer the question. You don't know what went on in that house for 3 months after Cole was born, do you? I didn't want to say the words, but I had no choice. I didn't have any contact during that time period. I hung my head. And anything could have happened. Anything. Ron pounded the table. You didn't know anything was even wrong until you got the call to go to the hospital, did you? I didn't know there were any problems in the home. And by then it was too late, wasn't it, Ms. Goldstein? I couldn't take it anymore. I burst into tears.
40. Hannah Bauer. I could only feed Cole with my right breast because my left one was in stitches. He was a voracious eater, and one breast didn't suffice. I still got a letdown in my left breast, which meant it was constantly engorged, and I had to find a way to express it. I couldn't use the breast pump because of how it pulled on my stitches, so I had to sit and do it by hand. It only took 2 days before blood and pus oozed from my nipples, and it felt like fire coming out of me whenever Cole latched. I gritted my teeth and held back the urge to scream each time. He cried when he was finished because he was still hungry. I refused to quit, though, because breast milk was too important for development. I rushed to see my doctor, hoping she could fix me. It's probably time for you to stop breastfeeding, she said after her examination. You have a horrible infection in your left breast. I'd expected as much. I'm not ready to stop. Can't you just prescribe an antibiotic? I know there are ones that are safe for nursing. I can, but it will only be a temporary fix. I'm fairly certain the infection will come back. I want to at least give it a try. I wasn't willing to give up that easily, not on something that was so important. She looked irritated, but she wrote me a prescription anyway. I highly doubt these will work, but give them a try. The pain grew worse every hour, so bad it kept me up all night. My left breast was swollen and engorged. The right one was supposed to be healthy, but by morning, it had grown hard, painful lumps and was just as red as my left. I couldn't touch them. Even the skin brushing against my shirt sent white-hot pain searing through my body until I was nauseous. I sobbed as I filled Cole his first bottle of formula later that evening. I feel like such a failure as a mom, I said through my tears. Just give it a few days, Christopher said, rubbing my back in wide circles. It will probably clear up soon, and you can go back to breastfeeding. Formula isn't going to hurt him, and I promise, he's not going to forget how to do it. I glared at him. He didn't understand what I was going through. Breastfeeding was the one thing making Cole's crying bearable. I loved lying with him as he coiled his body around mine and staring at his tiny clasped fingers. In those moments, it didn't matter that he cried all night long. and it made my utter exhaustion worthwhile. Feeding him a bottle wasn't going to be the same experience. It just wasn't. I didn't care what anyone said.
Here, why don't you give him to me?
Christopher scooped him from me and took the bottle with his other hand.
And you go to sleep. You've been up for almost 48 hours. You've got to be exhausted.
I stumbled back into our bedroom, my eyes burning with exhaustion. I curled underneath our comforter but couldn't get warm. My entire body ached. I alternated between feeling like I was freezing to being so hot I felt sunburned.
Christopher?
It hurt to speak.
Christopher?
He rushed into the room, bouncing coal on his chest in one of the baby wraps we'd gotten from our shower.
I feel really awful. Can you take my temperature?
He looked back and forth between the baby and me.
What do I do with him?
Take him with you.
I can't take him with me and get the thermometer.
He looked overwhelmed at the task.
Are you serious? Give him to me then.
The handoff startled Cole, and he started shrieking. His screams pierced my brain. Christopher just stood there, not knowing what to do. I motioned toward the door.
Go!
I was too weak to get out of bed and in too much pain to hold Cole. I laid him on his back next to me. He screamed and writhed like he was being tortured. I could tell by how worked up he was already that it was going to be a bad crying episode and last for hours. I covered my ears and sobbed. Christopher returned with the thermometer and stuck it under my tongue. He picked up Cole, but it didn't make any difference. Sometimes he cried even harder when Christopher picked him up. He said it didn't bother him, but it did. The thermometer beeped, and I looked down. 103.4. I hadn't had a fever that high since I was a child. No wonder I felt so terrible.
You need to go to urgent care.
Worry lined his forehead.
Your fever shouldn't be that high. Not on antibiotics and Tylenol.
His voice sounded like he was speaking at the end of a tunnel.
You're not driving yourself either, so don't even think about it.
I couldn't think. It hurt too much. I just wanted to go to sleep. It wasn't long before Allison shook me awake.
Come on, hon. I'm taking you to urgent care, she said, leaning down by the side of the bed, her face in front of mine.
I nodded. She slowly peeled the covers off and helped me to my feet. I sat on the edge of the bed while she rummaged through my closet for a pair of shoes I could slip on easily. Cole's screams reverberated from down the hallway.
Why doesn't he ever stop crying?
The room spun. I gripped the side of the bed.
He will. Sometimes it just takes time for them to get used to being born.
She came out holding a pair of old tennis shoes and plopped them on the floor for me. We hobbled into the hallway.
Chris, she called out.
Yeah?
I'm taking Hannah now. I'll text you when I know anything.
All right. Love you, Hannah.
I didn't have the energy to respond. Allison helped me to the car, and I fell back to sleep as soon as I sat down. I nodded in and out while we waited to see a doctor. Finally, it was our turn, and we shuffled down the hallway. Allison helped me into the room and went to shut the door.
I'm okay, I said.
She looked at me, baffled.
Just wait for me in the waiting room. I'm okay from here, I said again, desperately trying to keep it together.
She edged her way out and shut the door behind her. I gasped and stumbled to the table. I couldn't let her see what Janie had done. I slid out of my shirt and into the gown and lay back on the table, suddenly feeling nauseous. Putting my hands on my stomach, I took deep breaths. I didn't have to wait long for the doctor. His name tag swerved in front of me. Dr. Flynn. He tried to touch my right breast, and I yelped as soon as his finger made contact.
I'm sorry. It just hurts so bad, I cried.
He looked at both of them. You have a nasty infection surrounding your wound, and it also looks like you have mastitis in both breasts.
It's so painful. I don't know what to do.
I'm sorry, but you're going to have to stop breastfeeding. I've got to put you on a strong dose of antibiotics, and they're not safe for the baby. I'm afraid if we don't aggressively treat this, you're going to become septic.
I cried the entire way back to the house. Don't let me forget to call Greg and let him know I'm staying over to take care of you tonight, Allison said as she helped me out of the car. I shook my head. She looked surprised. Any other time, I would have gladly accepted her help, but the doctor had instructed me to shower in order to massage the milk out. She'd insist on helping me, and I couldn't let her see my breasts. Not that I was embarrassed for her to see them. She'd helped me fit my first bra, but she couldn't see what Janie had done to me. I hadn't told her. I hadn't told anyone. I was too ashamed.
What's going on, Hannah? She asked.
Nothing. I'm fine, I said,
just as Christopher opened the front door to greet us. He wore Cole in the same sling as earlier.
Hi, Auntie Allison, Janie waved from behind him.
Anger burned my insides like it did whenever I looked at her. All of this was her fault. She'd never said anything about biting me. She'd never apologized, never asked me how I was doing or how I felt.
Come here and give me a hug, sweetie pie, Allison said.
She opened her arms and Janie ran into them.
Do you want to come home with me?
Janie jumped up and down.
Yes, yes!
Allison looked up at me.
Why don't I just keep her overnight? That way Christopher can focus on taking care of you and Cole without having to worry about her. It's one less thing to worry about.
Sounds great to me, I said. Christopher didn't look so sure.
I don't know. She's never stayed overnight anywhere before.
She'll be fine. Don't worry about it, Allison said. It'll be good for her.
I don't know.
Christopher, just let her go, I said, moving past him into the house. I needed to lie down.
I wasn't ready for Janie to come back from Allison's. Things were worse, not better. Both breasts were filled with knotty lumps. I tried to massage the milk out in the shower like my doctor had instructed, but the water felt like knives on my swollen skin. Percocet barely touched the pain. I couldn't keep anything down. I lay in bed with a bucket next to me. It was devastating not being able to nurse Cole. Every time he cried, my breasts instinctively filled with milk. Not being able to go to him broke my heart again and again. Allison had kept Janie for 4 days, and it wasn't fair to make her keep her longer when she already had so much on her plate, even if I wanted her to. She looked frazzled when she brought Janie home later that afternoon. Janie threw her stuff on the floor and took off for her bedroom without speaking to me or Cole.
How are you feeling? Allison asked.
She fluffed the pillows behind my head. I'd been camped out on the couch since Janie had left. We didn't have a TV in our bedroom, and I needed the distraction.
Better than this morning, I said.
I'd thrown up 3 times before 10 and hadn't been able to keep any coffee down, so I had a raging headache on top of everything else.
Thanks so much for taking her. I hope she didn't give you too many problems.
She plopped down on the couch next to me, propping her legs up on the coffee table just like Christopher.
Honestly, it was a little rough. Promise you won't feel bad if I tell you something?
I nodded. Nothing could make me feel worse than I already did.
You always talk about how difficult Janie is, and I've never seen it. She's so well-behaved and sweet whenever I'm around. Part of me thought you were overreacting.
She glanced at me before continuing, making sure I didn't look hurt or defensive. I waved her off. It's fine. Don't even worry about it. She looked relieved that I wasn't angry. She can really be difficult. I burst out laughing. You think so? What did she do? First, she insisted on being carried everywhere, which lost its cuteness almost immediately. Then I couldn't get her to use the toilet, and she kept going in her pants. She wrinkled her nose. Even the boys started to get annoyed with her because she kept acting and talking like a baby. You know it must have been bad if her two biggest fans were annoyed. But the weirdest thing was how she kept getting up during the middle of the night and coming into our bedroom. She'd just stand over us and stare. Does she always do that? She used to do it all the time, but she hasn't done it in a while. Probably just part of the adjustment period. She squeezed my knee. Can I get you anything before I leave? I have to go get the boys from soccer. I'm good. Thanks for taking her. She nodded and looked away. It wasn't lost on me that she didn't say, no problem, or any time, like she normally would. Bye, Janie. I'll see you soon, she called out. She waited a second to see if Janie would respond and shrugged when she didn't. Text me later, okay? Janie came into the living room as soon as she heard the door close. Did you have fun with Auntie Allison? I asked. She stuck out her lower lip. I don't like Allison. What? Since when don't you like her? You love your aunt. She shook her head. No, I don't. She's a big meanie. She looked around. Where's Daddy? He's at work. Will you play with me? Why don't you go play with Blue? I'm sure she missed you. I turned away. Her presence was unnerving. You never play with me. You're mean, too, just like Allison. She stuck her tongue out at me and stomped back to her room. There was something about having her in the house again that sucked the air out of the room. My heart hammered. I grabbed Cole from his swing and squeezed him against my chest, hoping his heartbeat would calm mine. But it did nothing for the panic surging through my body. I had to get air. There wasn't enough air around me. I stumbled toward the door as waves of heat coursed through my veins. I was so hot, drenched in sweat. I pushed open the front door and stepped outside onto the porch. The cool air hit me and felt good against my face. I sucked it in, trying to pull myself together. She's just a girl. There's nothing to be afraid of.
41. Christopher Bauer. I was happy to see Hannah up and moving around, but was a little concerned as I watched her bustling with frenetic energy through the house. She'd been obsessively cleaning the house for 3 days, ever since Janie had gotten back from Allison's. She kept Cole wrapped tightly against her chest while she worked. Hey, I came up behind her as she arranged the picture frames on top of the fireplace. You've been busy all night. Why don't you take a break? She pushed me aside. It's just a mess in here. It's too dirty. How are you feeling? Good. I feel good. Do you want me to take him? No, but can you do something with Janie? Janie stood behind the baby gate in her room like she was an animal in a zoo, looking bewildered. We'd never made her stay in her room like that before, not even when she was at her worst. Mommy made me go to my room, she said as I unlatched the gate. Hannah ignored us for the rest of the night. She kept Cole on her chest and moved through the house like she couldn't clean fast enough. Our house sparkled and shone. You could smell bleach when you walked in the door. It looked like we were about to put it on the market. It was staged to perfection. Everything in place, proportional, except Janie's room. Hannah wouldn't touch it. I didn't know what she did with Janie all day while she cleaned and didn't dare ask. Ever since the biting incident, Hannah had avoided talking about her or doing anything with her. I understood how hurt she was and gave her the time she needed to work through her emotions, but then I came home and found Janie in soiled clothes. Her poop had been in her pants for so long, it had hardened against her skin like a rock. I couldn't even scrape it off. She was still in the pajamas she'd been wearing for the last 2 days. Her hair was a tangled mess, there was food all over her face, and her breath smelled foul, which meant she hadn't brushed her teeth either. I waited until she was in bed to talk to Hannah about it. "Can you put the broom down and talk to me for a second?" I asked. "What? I can talk while I clean." "Hannah, that's the third time you've swept the floors since I got home. I'm pretty sure they're clean. Are you getting ready to adopt another kid that I don't know about?" I joked to lessen the tension. The only other time she'd cleaned like a madwoman was when we were getting ready for Janie's home visit. "I just don't like dirt. You can't see it, but I can. Besides, blue sheds everywhere. I don't want Cole breathing all that in. We never should have gotten a cat. He might be allergic." "I don't think he's allergic to cats. He would have had some reaction by now." I massaged my forehead. "Can we sit down, please?" She shook her head. "I ordered a carpet cleaner on Amazon today." I raised my eyebrows. "We don't even have any carpets. We have rugs," she said, like that explained everything. "Can we please talk about Janie?" "What's there to talk about?" she asked, immediately defensive. "Honey, I know you're still upset because of what she did to you, but you can't treat her the way you've been treating her." "The way I've been treating her?" she laughed sarcastically. "Yes, you can't let her sit around in poopy pants all day." "She knows how to go to the bathroom when she needs to go. I'm done playing her games. Done." She stopped sweeping, walked over, and locked eyes with me. "If she's going to be a brat and poop in her pants, then she can sit in it." "Dr. Chandler said it's totally normal for her to revert to baby-like behavior. She also said Janie is manipulative." I sighed. "What about the fact that she's filthy? She was still in her pajamas when I got home tonight and hadn't even brushed her teeth." "I tried to get her to brush her teeth and change her clothes. Do you know what she did?" Her jaw was set in a straight line. "She stuck her tongue out at me and said she wished she had a different mommy. I'm tired of pretending like she's ever going to like me. That girl hates me." "She doesn't hate you." It broke my heart to hear her talk about Janie that way. "Really?" she laughed. Bitterness lined every word. "The only person she cares about is herself. And you," she added as an afterthought. "That's not true." She gave me a pointed look, daring me to argue with her. "It's just rough right now. Everyone's emotions are on edge. This happens to all families when there's a new baby. You still gotta take care of her, even when it's hard." She opened her mouth, but quickly shut it again, changing her mind. She turned on her heel and stormed away, taking Cole into our bedroom with her and slamming the door behind her. Hannah met me at the door the next day when I came home. She started screaming immediately. "Tell her to give it to me!" Her eyes were wild. Her hand shook as she pointed to the hallway leading to the bedrooms. "She's in there! Tell her to give it to me!" I set my stuff on the end table next to the couch. "Whoa, calm down. What are you talking about?" "My phone. She took my phone and hid it somewhere. She won't give it back." Her voice trembled with anger. "Your phone? Why would she take your phone? Are you sure you didn't just misplace it somewhere?" I eyed the room, expecting to spot it. "She took it. You said I needed to take care of her, so I did. She wouldn't go to the bathroom today when I asked her to, or brush her teeth. So I told her she couldn't watch any cartoons until she had done what I asked. You know what she did? She looked right at me and took her pants off. She walked over to the rug in the dining room and peed on it. Then she laughed like it was the funniest thing in the world." I'd never seen her so unhinged. "That's not okay, but what does that have to do with your phone?" "Oh, the phone? The phone happened when I took away her Barbie dolls. Ask why I took away her Barbie dolls. Ask me." She moved in front of me, smashing Cole between us like a sandwich. "Why did you take her Barbie dolls away?" "I set Cole down, just for a second. That's why I never set him down. Never. You want to know why I carry him around all the time? That's why. That's why." I put my hands on her shoulders and moved her back from me. "Hannah, please calm down.
You're not making any sense. None of this makes sense. Why don't we sit down just for a second? She jerked away. I don't want to sit down. I want you to make her give me my phone. Janie stood in the doorway of her bedroom, watching everything play out with a blank expression on her face.